First of all, I think we all agree that it's a tremendous privilege to be able to have a meditation conversation. It's not really a topic that we get to talk about a lot. So I've been enjoying very much the questions that have been coming in and the sharings that have been coming in, and appreciating also the sense of shift and transformation that many of you have been sharing both on the listserv and privately. It's the reason I do this. It's the reason I love gathering with all of you. And it's, I do believe, the great gift that meditation offers. And I also want to say, slight commercial here at the beginning, that tomorrow evening, my friend Arjuna Arda and I are going to be having a conversation. Actually, Arjuna's going to kind of interview me about my book, Meditation for the Love of It, and meditation itself. And if you're on my mailing list, you'll be receiving an announcement about that. It's at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and it'll also be downloadable in case you're interested, in case you can't be present for the live call. And it's also a nice thing to offer your friends. So, again, I'd like to say that the week following this teleconference is an intrinsic and important part of the class. You'll be getting a new practice this week and a homework assignment, of course. And the practice for this coming week is actually, in a sense, the fruition, the coming together of everything we've done in the weeks before. So the purpose of the framework, the purpose of the homework and of the daily homework is really not so much discipline for its own sake as it is discipline for the sake of attainment. You know, in the Indian tradition, it said siddhi, which means attainment, accomplishment, follows sadhana, which means practice. In other words, when it comes to these processes, we need to do them. And I know that for some people, meditation is an adored practice. For some people, it's harder. I have a couple of students who confessed to me several years into our work together, and these are people who do many of my teleconferences, that they love to listen to the teleconferences and they play them again and again, but they have a very hard time doing the daily meditation practice. And without exception, there'll be a point in which each one of these people will find herself, it's usually a her for some reason, most of the men who study with me seem to be born meditators in one way or another. But at some point, they'll decide that now's the time, and they'll begin doing the practice in a regular way. And what they invariably say is, oh my God, why didn't I know about this before? I thought I wasn't a good meditator, but when I started to sit regularly, I began to realize that meditation is natural, meditation is intrinsic. So my hope is that this class has inspired you and will continue to inspire you to enter into the practice again and again and again. Even a little of this practice bears great fruit, as Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. And that's, I can tell you, and as many of you know, that's really true. Even 10 minutes a day of meditation is going to make a difference. And I would also say that if you give yourself to the practice, it bears great fruit, huge fruit, transformative fruit. And also to let you know and to remind you that the group energy that comes from all of us focusing on these practices together is a very real factor in the process that we're going through. So our shared commitment and our practice now, and I think you'll find in the future, actually makes an exponential difference in our experience as individuals. So before we go into our practice for this evening, I want to say a little bit about the journey itself, because as you longtime practitioners know, meditation really is a journey. And when we begin to realize how profoundly meditation is opening up the layers of our inner consciousness, it's really kind of awesome. And part of what we come to recognize is that because it's a journey, it's actually okay that it doesn't all happen at once, that the heavens don't open during the first week of your meditation practice, or even during the first few months. Because often, as the texts of Tantra say, there are some layers that need to be removed that meditation is removing. And the process of sitting still, so to speak, and allowing those layers to be removed is really tremendously important. You know, of course, that we are layered beings, not just the obvious layers like the physical body and the subtle body, but our inner consciousness, our inner mind is actually holographic. It's layered. And as you start to turn into the mind, as you start to unpeel the layers of the mind, what you find is that you're deconstructing ancient patterns, personal patterns, personal belief patterns, family genetic patterns, even deeply layered collective patterning that's there in the mind of us as individuals because it's part of our collective heritage. There are actually some classes that I do which are intended to directly address some of this patterning. But the background, the basis for it, and really in the end the most efficient practice for allowing those layers to begin to, as we say, burn off or melt off, is meditation practice. And what will happen as you meditate is that these layers will present themselves as feelings, as images, as pockets of dullness. You know, those dull feelings that we sometimes get in meditation, they're actually layers in our inner being. They're places in our inner being where we are, as it were, anesthetized. Pockets of emotion, all the emotions that we hold, the obvious ones and the subtle ones. There'll be deep pools of stillness, unexpected bliss, tremendous feelings of openness, and much, much more. And part of the art of meditation, I'll say this again, part of the art of meditation is giving yourself permission to sit with these arisings, to stay with the process, to sit through our entire meditation session so that the unpeeling can take place and the inner shifts can take place. They do and they will, and sometimes it'll be big and obvious, even dramatic, sometimes very, very subtle. This process will shift the context of your inner field of awareness. It really will. As one of my teachers likes to say, meditation doesn't solve problems. Meditation instead dissolves the context in which the problems exist. And what that means is that apparently insoluble problems resolve on their own. So when we see this, we recognize that we're in a process, and that, you know, as it's often said, there are a few ways to take journeys. One is to focus entirely on the goal. The other is to delight in the process. And in my experience, meditation is best when we're delighting in the process, when we're actually savoring the fact that we're giving ourselves an opportunity to sit and be with ourselves, to feel what the body feels like, what the mind feels like, how the heart feels as we segue into meditation. And also to honor the purification process that's sometimes part of it. There's a very beautiful metaphorical story in the Vishnu Purana, which is one of the great mythological books of India. And the story goes that once the gods, the light beings, who inhabit certain higher astral realms and who serve the cosmic light, the gods were doing a ritual beside the shore of a heavenly ocean called the Ocean of Milk, and one careless young god dropped a pot of sacred nectar into the ocean. Now, the sacred nectar was the substance that allows the gods to remain immortal and young and beautiful, so they were, as you can imagine, quite upset. And to retrieve the nectar, they had to churn the ocean, to agitate it so that it would give up the nectar. And in order to do this successfully, because there weren't enough of them and the Milky Ocean is vast, they made an agreement with their dark force counterparts, the Asuras. The word Asura is usually translated as demon, but the Asuras aren't really demons. They're dark beings. They're aspects of the universal, the universal power, desperation and selfishness and other dark, darker, more egoic forces. And this, of course, is a powerful metaphor for what we're doing in meditation, because to move it deep into our consciousness, we do indeed get to engage with the dark side of our nature. We have to, with the shadowy elements of our nature. We have to be willing to be present with our own anger, with our sadness, with our desire to use meditation to further the ego's agendas. And that's because the fruits of meditation really only arise when we engage our whole being in it. So the gods and the demons are churning the ocean, and all sorts of magical substances begin to arise from within it. And of course this happens in meditation as well. We have visions, we have beautiful feelings, we have brilliant insights. We, you know, as time goes on, we actually gain capacities. Our states change during the day. So often our external life becomes easier and even magical. And among the substances that arose from the ocean was a poison, a terrible poison that threatened to destroy the world. And the gods and the demons both became very afraid. But at that moment, Lord Shiva, the powerful Lord of Yoga, who's also the eternal guru, the guide of the interior spiritual journey, catches the poison in his throat, and he held it, and he dissolved it in his powerful meditative awareness. And from that day forward, Shiva has been known as the blue-throated one, Nilakanta. And I think you can recognize that Shiva in this story represents the grace that lives within our own awareness. The grace of being willing to look into what is real, which can literally liberate us from the poisons of fear, of negativity, and dullness that we've been carrying. So our own awareness, if we can stay present when these things arise, can neutralize the poisons, the difficult karmas, the impressions that have been stuck in our subconscious, and actually dissolve them so that they no longer trouble us. And this is what's happening to many of you. I also feel very strongly that when we dissolve, or we're even really willing to stay present with these qualities in ourselves, that we're doing this work for the rest of the world as well, certainly for our families, for the people close to us. In the Indian tradition, it's said that when we liberate ourselves in these ways, in these sometimes incremental ways, but sometimes very big ways, we actually liberate our ancestral karmas as well. And that's a mystical idea that's very interesting to contemplate. So, that said, let's chant our invocation, say our prayer, settle into meditation, do an opening meditation, and then I'd like to practice with you with some devotional heart practice that can help make meditation with the awakened heart juicier and sweeter, and also give us some, let's say, invisible help. So you can find your posture, feel the firmness of your sitting bones, a place where the sit bones meet the seat, and go through the alignment practices of pulling back the skin on your buttocks, rolling in the skin on your thighs, having the feeling of lifting up from the base through the crown of the head, letting the shoulder blades come down your back. Then have the sense that the sides of your ears come back, and let the crown lift, move up towards the ceiling. And with the inhalation, have the sense that the breath is flowing down towards the core of the pelvis, towards the base of the spine. And with the exhalation, have the sense that the breath is flowing upward towards the crown. And you can, without trying to direct the breath, inhale and just bring your attention to the base of the spine. And exhaling, bringing your attention to the crown. And as you do this, you might have a sense of what's sometimes called the Y-axis, the vertical axis, that runs through the center of your body from the base to the crown. Some of us experience it as being inside the spinal column. So the Shumna Nadi, the subtle channel of vibrant light. And some of us tune into that vertical axis most easily by simply imagining an energy that runs up through the center body, in front of the spine, perhaps very slender. I often like to think of it as a laser beam or as a thread of light energy, but it's just as effective to feel it as just a kinesthetic sense of an energetic connection that runs through your body through the base, from the base to the crown. And you can also be aware of the X-axis, the horizontal axis that runs through your buttocks, that connects through the perineum, and to sway very gently from side to side, letting the weight slosh, as it were, into first one buttock and then the other. And feel yourself coming back to center with a sense that your weight is evenly distributed on both buttocks. And be aware that this horizontal line bisecting the buttocks runs off infinitely in both directions and connects you to the here-ness, the space you occupy. And then become aware of the Z-axis, the line that runs front to back, bisecting the perineum, then perhaps you can have the sense that this forward and backward line of energy runs from the infinite past into the infinite future. So as you sit with the feeling that you're sitting on this cross, in this present moment in time and space, poised in the center at the base of the spine, with the feeling that that point in the perineum, that point right in the center of the horizontal and forward to back axis, now moves down from the perineum into this floor, through the floor, through all the floors in the building if you're on an upper story, and down into the earth. And you might imagine it as a taproot, as though your perineum is growing a root that moves down into the earth, just the way the roots of the tree quest down into the earth. And as you get that sense of your body's root energy rooting into the earth, draw energy up into the root of the body, into the perineum. So now, as you feel the vertical axis of energy that runs just in front of the base of the spine, up through the center of the belly, up through the rib cage, you realize that this vertical axis is rooted in the earth. And you can now feel this vertical line of energy flowing up through the center of the body, through the center of the chest, the neck, through the midbrain, through the crown, up into the heavens, connecting up to the Milky Way, to the vast intergalactic spaciousness of which we're a part. And with that sense of being anchored in the earth, poised in the here and now, poised between past and future, poised in this place, in this time, connected up, connected down, we'll chant the invocation, and then we'll make our offering, our request, that our practice be of benefit. the prayer, may what we're about to do yield beneficial results. May it give us the power to be of real benefit to others. May it help us overcome our delusions, our confusion. May it clear away obstacles on the path. May it give us clarity, enlightened love, and ever-increasing awareness. We'll allow the breath to just flow in and flow out in a very gentle way. Having the sense that the breath is coming in and out on its own without any real attempt on your part to guide it. Become aware for a moment of the top of your head and have the intention to relax your head, your scalp, your forehead, your face. The back of the head, the neck, the throat. Again, just the gentle intention to relax the shoulders, the upper back, the chest, to relax the heart, the solar plexus, the organs inside the abdomen, the lower back, the hips, your legs and feet. Now imagine, as the breath flows in and out, that you're surrounded by love, by tenderness, by well-being, by light. You're surrounded by positivity. You're surrounded by the goodness of the world. And be aware that this essential goodness, this essential love, is the true nature of this world and your life. No matter what occurs on the surface, goodness, love, light is present. And bring your attention now to the space above your head. And see if in that space you can feel an ocean of healing. There's literally an ocean of healing above your head. Your body is breathing. The breath flowing in and out. And as you breathe in now, feel a stream of this boundless presence of healing and light descend into the top of your head and flow down your body into the center of your chest. And as you exhale, see if you can feel this ocean of healing, of goodness filling your heart. See if you can feel the qualities of light and love of well-being flooding that space in the heart. And now on the next inhalation, feel that any negativity, any sadness, any suffering that's being held in your body lifts out of the heart center. And feel it move up through the center of the throat, up to the top of the head. And then as you exhale, release those negative feelings that may have been sitting on the heart. Just let it go out into the universe. Without forcing the breath, without trying to control the breath, just letting the breath be effortless. On the inhale, let yourself draw in light, harmony, love, healing. On the exhale, let it fill the heart. And then on the next inhalation, let any negative feelings, known or unknown, that may cloud the heart, flow up to the top of the head. And then with the exhalation, let it float out the top of your head and disperse. Understand that as you do this, that these particles of negative energy, of negative feelings, are dissolving into that universal intelligence. And again, inhaling, feel healing and light and love flow into the crown, down into the heart. Exhaling, let it fill the heart, expand the heart. And then with the next inhalation, allow any clouds of negativity or dullness, known or unknown, rise up towards the crown. And with the exhalation, allow them to release. Again, the inhalation draws in light through the crown, light, love, simple good feeling, a sense of boundlessness into the heart. The exhalation allows it to expand the heart. With the next inhalation, any feelings of suffering or sadness or anger, confusion, rise up from the heart to the crown. With the exhalation, they float away, dissolving into that boundless ocean of light. Let yourself feel more and more that this practice is effortless. This sense of boundless love and awareness and healing flows in with the first inhalation into the heart, expands through the heart with the exhalation. Then the next inhalation draws any clouds of pain or confusion or sadness from the heart up to the top of the head. And the next exhalation releases them through the crown of the head so that they dissolve into the ocean, the boundless ocean, the loving ocean of awareness. And as you draw in the sense of boundless love, boundless healing, peacefulness, light into the heart, and allow the clouds of sorrow to disperse from the heart, you begin to feel that sense of wholeness, that sense of light, that sense of peacefulness is actually the truth of your heart. And the breath is coming and going very gently, almost imperceptibly. And you're resting inside the heart. Center in the heart, as you allow it to recognize its own light, and as you allow it to let go of whatever is obscuring the light, actually begins to know itself as your true being. Ramana Maharshi, one of the great 20th century sages, used to say that when the mind flows out through the brain and sense organs, we experience the physicality of the world. And he said, this is a quote, when it learns to stay in the heart, the names and forms become subtle and even disappear. Not letting the mind go anywhere it likes, but retaining it in the heart is what's called inwardness or inner attention. Letting the mind out of the heart is called externalization. When the mind stays in the heart, the ever-existent self, the godness in us, can begin to shine. And this is meditation. Ramana goes on to say, constantly let the mind develop the skill of staying in the heart. Constantly let the mind develop the skill of staying in the heart. And the more we allow ourselves to feel our way into the inner heart, the more attractive it becomes to stay in the heart. And so in all these meditation practices, this way of letting our consciousness, our awareness, become very much at home in the heart, so that we can act more and more in the external world from a sense of being seated in the heart. And then all the practices we do arise from that place, and they take on the beautiful color of the heart space, the loving, tender quality of the heart. Because though the heart is the place where consciousness internalizes itself, it's also paradoxically enough the place where we can connect and relate to the so-called external world from a place of deep feeling, deep sweetness. It's the place where we can connect. E.M. Forster, in one of his wonderful, paradoxical, aphoristic phrases, very famous phrase, said, this is kind of his mantra, he said, only connect. only connect, and it's through the heart that we connect. So we've been practicing with vertical attention, and now we're going to once again return to our practice of flowing into the back heart and practicing with hum and sa, with the recognition, I am that. So as you let your awareness and attention in each inhalation and exhalation, gently expand the heart. With the inhalation, you can feel your awareness flowing towards the back of the heart. And with the exhalation, just see if you can feel that the back of the heart expands, opens. If you like, you can use the mantra hum and sa, or you can simply let the breath flow. And feel that just as we experienced the ocean of light and spaciousness above the head, that same ocean of love and spaciousness is supporting us from behind. So as the breath flows in, we feel that light and healing and spacious energy flowing into our body from behind, from the great heart space at our back. And with the exhalation, we simply feel the inner body opening, making more space in the heart. So in general, as we sit, and if you like, you can stretch and move your body a bit, or move your body a lot. We began this meditation by having the feeling that we're surrounded by an ocean of love, an ocean of positivity, an ocean of well-being, an ocean of light. And in this recognition of the space around our body as being filled with the presence of the life energy that supports us, and that actually, in both an impersonal and a profoundly personal way, offers its love and support to us. So we're going to practice for the rest of this class with this sense of what it is that holds us and surrounds us. The heart is the junction point where the individual self can flow into the great self, and then through which the great self can pour its power and support back into the personal self. You know, as those of you who are familiar with the Indian tradition, the yoga tradition, know, the self has two forms, many forms actually, but two basic forms, the supreme self, which is the all, and the individual self, which is our personal God spark. And around that personal self, the jivatma as it's called, our karmas and our particular qualities of thought streams and activities form and then create what's sometimes called the empirical self or the historical self, the self that has its nature and qualities and ups and downs and delusions and confusions and also its beauties and its wonderful gifts and skills. But at the heart of that historical self, the self that identifies with its body and its accomplishments and its family, etc., etc., at the heart of that historical self, there's the spark of the God self, the individual spark, the unique personal snowflake spark of divinity. And one of the ways I like to think of us is as light sparks surrounded by the layers of personality that we've acquired in order to live this experience of being a human being in the world. And that the great light, the great self, which surrounds us and encloses us and fills us, and in fact, which infuses every part of us, but the great self is constantly wanting to give us the experience of the connection, of the support, of the love that's always there, moving through the karmas and the confusions and the ideas about what we want and don't want. And really speaking, part of what we do in meditation is simply open that door. So during this class, we've been focusing very much on the felt sense of energy and spirit within the heart and within the breath. And today we're going to actually practice, do a devotional practice, a practice of allowing yourself to receive the energy of the great heart in kind of a personal way. Those of you who took my teleconference before last, the January one, which was called Meditation and the Three Faces of Spirit, and many of you who haven't taken that class may be aware that there are at least three perspectives through which we normally experience the energy of spirit. We can say that spirit or God or presence or the great self is the vast impersonal intelligence that's at the heart of all, everything that is, that powers the Big Bang, that grows as the grass, that makes our body grow from a zygote into a human being and then into a grown-up and a older person and then takes us back into the next phase through the death process. That spirit, that vast impersonal power, spirit is the life force. This is also spirit as that impersonal presence that we experience in nature, or as the kind of awesome experience of being on a mountain. Spirit is the Dharma, the laws of life, the laws of karma for that matter. And we can also experience spirit in the second person, that is, as a unique divine being, as a thou, as a friend, as a beloved, as someone or something that we speak to or pray to and take refuge in. And in the devotional traditions, of course, and in the bhakti traditions of India, in the Christian tradition, in the Sufi tradition, in Tibet, in certain aspects of Tibetan Buddhism, that sense of devotion is to a very personal being, to Christ or the Divine Mother, or to your teacher, or to a great saint. Some of you in this class are students or devotees of living masters, but you also can find this divine quality in a lover or in a friend or in a child, someone whose basic divine quality you're able to touch into in that way. So in devotional practice, we learn to relate to spirit in form as an embodied personal beingness. And in this form, in second person form, we actually can have a very personal relationship with the divine, and in that sense find enormous solace in a dialogue, a friendship with something that's intangible and invisible and yet deeply personal, as my friend Mark Goffney says, with the God who knows your name, the personal divinity. And of course, the third way to experience spirit is the way we've been practicing and the way we'll practice more intensely in the next teleclass on the witness practice. That is spirit as me, as our own awareness, our own pure mind, as the I in I am that, which of course the Mantra Hamsa points to, the truth that God is me and I am God, that spirit is me and I am spirit. The true answer to the question, who am I or what am I, is I am spirit. So there are these ways in which we can experience our source, and I've found that part of the beauty of deep practice is to open to all these different ways of experiencing spirit, not to feel that one way is the only, our only avenue into the experience of the numinous. Sometimes there are times in our life when one particular way of relating to spirit is very strong. You know, for example, for many of us, it happens very much in nature. In my neighborhood, in the redwoods or by the ocean. In your neighborhood, perhaps in the mountains. And there are other people who are just deeply in love with personal deity practice, personal devotional practice. And for very deep meditators, the deepest truth of spirit is what's found in deep meditation as the self. God dwells within you as you, as my teacher used to say. In this country, in the West, in the postmodern period, there's not so much ease necessarily with the understanding of spirit in a personal devotional way. We can very comfortably relate to spirit as the natural forces, as the creative intelligence of life. And if we have a strong meditation practice, or if we're students of Buddhism or Eckhart Tolle or non-dual Vedanta, we also can be quite comfortable with the recognition of spirit as the witness, spirit as awareness. So sometimes some of us have to expand our understanding to be comfortable with a second-person devotional practice. And sometimes if we've been involved in a conservative Christian or Jewish tradition, or even a very conservative Hindu tradition, we may have to kind of move away from some of our childhood ideas about personal deity practice and just open ourselves to what it's like to experience deity, to experience second person devotion in a fresh way. So, as I said, I believe that the more ways we can find to bring ourselves into relationship with spirit, the more fluid and flexible and open to spirit we become, and the more we can really experience ourselves as that, we can experience the incredible possibilities for our own greatness and love. So, we're going to practice in the next few minutes with what I feel, for me at least, is kind of the ultimate devotional practice. It's a very tantric meditation practice that works with a specific personal deity figure. And you might like to stand and shake yourself out, come out of your posture, perhaps ease yourself up out of the sitting posture, do a forward bend or a side-to-side bend, or just shake your legs and your hands. Just allow yourself to if you can stay in your heart while you're moving. Stay with a sense of the breath flowing naturally, and with a sense of a certain openness in your body so that you can feel the presence or sense the presence, or just open yourself to the possibility that you're surrounded by essential goodness, by the energy of love, the energy of loving intelligence, the energy of Shakti. Rumi says, and I'm slightly paraphrasing, there's a presence we honor that gives the gifts. There's a presence we honor that gives the gifts. So this practice we'll be doing is a practice of honoring the presence, but above all of receiving the gifts. Because I know that many of you are people who like to give gifts, like to give love, but maybe you don't have such an easy time receiving it. And part of what we're going to be doing in this practice, in this time together, is just opening yourself to receive it. So you can take your seat and find the relaxed, open posture, grounded through the sitting bones, lifting through the chest, up through the crown, shoulder blades releasing onto the back, having the sense of the axis that you're sitting on, the horizontal line and the forward to backward line, and the vertical axis that connects you through the perineum to the earth, through the crown up to the heavens, up to the Milky Way. Just have the sense of these three supports. So what we're going to be doing is practicing relating to a divine other, invoking the presence of a beloved. And if there's a living presence or a formerly living on this earth presence that you are very comfortable relating to as a form of the divine, whether it's Christ or Buddha or Padmasambhava or a personal teacher, I do this practice with my guru's guru, Nityananda, with someone like Mother Teresa or Saint Teresa. So if there is such a being with a Baal Shem Tov, or your personal teacher, if that feels comfortable, you can imagine that being as your beloved other. And you can also, and this is very important, you can also have a sense that this practice doesn't have a personality form at all. You can imagine, you can practice spirit just as a light, as a flame, or simply as a sense of goodness, of presence. Or you can sense a deity presence, the presence of the Great Mother, of Kuan Yin, of Lakshmi, of Tara, of one of the beautiful feminine deity forms, of Shiva or Krishna, or one of the great Sufi saints, Rumi himself. So just take a moment and ask inside what form you would like to relate to spirit. What personal form would you like to approach spirit in now? How would you like to conceive of spirit? How would you like spirit, the beloved, to be present with you now? In what form? Form, again, doesn't have to be a visual form, an apparent physical form. It can simply be a feeling form. How would you like spirit to be present with you now? How does spirit want to be present with you now? Just invite that presence. you can now center yourself in the breath, letting the breath flow effortlessly as we have been doing. Now I'd like you to imagine that this form of spirit personal being, this deity, or this golden white cloud of light, this being, this presence is before you. Your eyes are closed, and you're sensing the presence before you of this utterly divine and loving being. And the form of this being is very large. It fills the whole space in front of you. For some of you, this may be a very visual sense, or there may be a sense of an extremely familiar presence. Or the presence may not be so familiar, and it may not be visual. It may simply be a felt sense of presence. Be aware of this presence filling the space in front of you, completely loving and benign, filled with love for you. It's as if the power that moves the universe has condensed itself into a being who sits before you, radiating blessing, filled with the energy of love. And you're there in your place. Your breath is flowing in and out. And the whole field before you is this loving, tender, utterly benevolent presence. And this being this subtly embodied spirit as your beloved spirit, as your father, mother, lover spirit, as your divine friend, you can feel for yourself what quality this presence has, perhaps all of them. Perhaps it's simply a sense of the presence of love and healing itself. His presence is regarding you, focusing on you, with absolute unconditional love. If this being has eyes, the eyes of this being are overflowing with affection, with intimate concern. This being knows you. This being knows you from inside and outside. And this being adores you. And from the center of this being, from the heart of this presence, there flows a river of blessing. And as you breathe in, this river of blessing flows into your heart, expands from your heart through your body. And as you breathe out, you experience in the exhalation another river that connects you to this being. So that blessing is flowing from this being into your being, and from your being into the being of this divine presence. Blessing is flowing from the breath, through the breath into the heart. So as you draw breath in, you draw in, you receive, you fully receive the breath of blessing. And as the breath flows out, you offer it back because that's the nature of your being, your breath. You receive and you offer back. And the more you allow yourself to sit with this presence with the breath, the more you feel the natural connection that flows from this being to yourself. And let any emotions that arise flow with this sense of blessing. And let yourself open to receive more and more of it. More and more of the blessing that flows from this being into your being. Let yourself stay present with the breath and your sense of this divine and utterly loving presence who's breathing blessing into you with the breath. And with the next inhalation, feel that you draw this presence into yourself, that the very being of embodied spirit is flowing into you with the breath. You're literally drawing that presence into yourself, drawing the subtle essence of that being into your own body. Everything, the light, the love, the openness, the spaciousness, the intention for your well-being, the vastness, the greatness, is streaming through you, and you can allow that presence to fill you up, to fill your chest, your neck, your shoulders, your arms, your back, your belly, your genitals. You can allow it to fill your thoughts, and above all, to fill your heart. Feel blessings stream through your legs and your feet, through your veins and your bones. And just let yourself open to receive that. There's no need to force it. No need to try. The blessing is flowing and you're just receiving it in its fullness in your body. And if there are parts of your body that don't feel open, no problem. Just let it flow into the parts of your being that are. Thoughts or might be arising, emotions, feelings of resistance, wondering if you're getting it right. Just know that whatever's arising, you're getting it. The power of a blessing is greater than anything you can put in its way. The presence is flowing into you with the breath. Whatever thoughts, emotions, ideas, whatever arises that might obstruct that, or whatever arises that might invite it, just offer them into the stream of blessing that's flowing with the breath. particle of thought and feeling recognize itself as being suffused with the blessing that's flowing through you. The breath is flowing and you're noticing how your body feels. Notice if the sense of your physical boundaries is opened a bit. Feel the sense of blessing as energy through your being. Keeping the sense of the breath flowing very gently and softly, and the presence still flowing through your body. And I know that you may be in too deep a state to want to talk, but some of you may feel like telling us what that was like for you or asking a question. So if you'd like to speak about the experience or ask a question, you can press *6. And as always, when we speak or ask questions from this space, in this place that we are together, we allow for a deeper understanding for all of us. And I'd also like to remind you that whatever arises in meditation is very genuine, whatever it is. May be surprising, may feel very ordinary, but it's all part of this process of deepening our relationship with our inner being and deepening our relationship with the beloved who exists within us and around us. So if anyone would like to speak, you may now be heard. Just press *6. Hello. Hi, Joyce Johnston.
Hi, Joyce.
That was a very powerful experience. I haven't had that type of experience before or done that type of meditation before. So it was powerful. It was all-encompassing for me. And then about 3 minutes before the bell rang, I started shaking. From head to toe, first gently from the torso up, and then quite violently, then the whole body, and it receded. I just let it go, and it receded and stopped, and my being was filled with all of the sensations that I was having before. And then this happened 3 times. Before you brought it to an end, and each time my body, I was violently shaking. I have to say my body feels quite relaxed right at the moment from that, but I was wondering if you could explain that to me.
Yes, for sure. What happens when we get a powerful infusion of Shakti, of divine energy, which this meditation really brings forth. This is, as you say, a very powerful meditation. It will often move through our body and cause releases in the body. And this experience of the body shaking, moving, sometimes the breath will change. Sometimes the head will shake or move from side to side. This is actually one of the signs that this Shakti, that this energy, is moving deeply in your body. It's known in Sanskrit as a yogic kriya. Kriya actually means action, and it's literally an action performed within the physical body through the subtle energy that's coming through you. And it's what it does is release blocks. It gets rid of tensions, and it's as you're experiencing the effect afterwards is often one of really feeling very relaxed because there's been a deep release. It's an extremely positive experience, and I think it's very interesting that you had short periods like this and then moved back into the more inward meditation practice, and that's often how it is, that somehow there'll be. One of the ways that this type of experience is sometimes explained in the tantric texts is that when there's a block in the body, when there's a place usually in the subtle body where the energy is not moving freely, then the energy will shake the body and that will release the block and the block will be dispelled and then the energy can move inward. So that's what's happening, and it's a very positive experience, although surprising and dramatic if you've never had it before. So thank you for sharing that with us, Joyce, and for asking the question, because I have a feeling that some others of you might have had that same experience. So does anyone else have a question or something you'd like to share with us? Many of you have shared with me. I had an experience during the call, but I was just too deep in meditation to share it. So if that's the case, honor to your experience. And if any of you have come out of meditation enough so that you'd like to say something, you can press *6. So there are a couple of things I'd like to say about this process. Sometimes the experience of a practice like this, which is actually quite a radical process. One of my experiences as I've gotten deeper into meditation is to recognize that although it's not so difficult for me to offer in meditation, that it's always been harder for me to just open myself and receive. And that's actually what's occurring for us in this practice, and it is a practice, and I'm going to ask you to continue the practice during the week. It's actually, among other things, it's a practice of allowing our body, our inner body, to open to the energy that's being given, that's being offered to us, really to the love and the blessing that spirit, that source is offering us. Yes, we are not different than spirit. And yes, we do experience limitation. So one of the powerful things about this practice of feeling ourselves receiving blessing from the presence of a being, of a higher being, of a divine being, of a divine friend or teacher or divine lover, is that it allows us to, from our place of relative limitation, open to receive the genuinely vast love that's being offered us at any moment, and to receive it in a relational way. You know how we often feel, well, it's really great that this universe is made of love, and I know it's really true, but I'd like to feel some, you know, good old personal love. This is actually a practice for opening ourselves to experience the personal love that comes from spirit, the personal love that comes from the divine. So let's once again bring ourselves into the sense of the body grounded, sinking into the earth, the shoulder blades coming onto the back. Back to our basic practice, the breath flowing in and out of the heart, flowing in with hum and out with sa. And perhaps as you practice with the sound of the breath and hum sa, in a very, very relaxed way, very, very gentle way, not trying to send the breath any place, but just letting it flow in and out with hum on the in-breath and sa on the out-breath, perhaps you can notice that this experience of blessing flowing in, this sense of connection of blessing flowing in and out through the heart that you may have presenced during the last meditation, is also inside the breath. And it's actually contained in, it fills the mantra Hamsa. Hamsa is like a little sound kernel. It holds blessing. It's a natural reminder of our connection with spirit, of our oneness with spirit. So all the practices that we've been playing with during the last few weeks and that we'll continue playing with in the week to come are what I call core practices. They're ways of opening up to your own meditation channel, your own meditation being. The energy in the mantra, Hamsa, the energy in the breath, the deeper awareness that the mantra contains, the subtle awareness by which we recognize our thoughts, our breath, the energies in our body as being made of consciousness, of divine energy. These are essence practices. And of course, there are many other ways of entering into meditation. When we use one of these essence practices, there are these practices for connecting with essence, then our meditation will naturally deepen, and the mind will naturally flow more and more deeply into the heart, into the pure heart, which is also the pure awareness, the pure consciousness. Spirit is you. And beloved, the divine being, the personal aspect of spirit, of letting yourself be blessed by a divine significant other. This personal sense of spirit, which appears in particular sacred forms, which we can inhale as blessing, which we can talk to, which we can pray to, who we can relate to. When we realize that personal spirit is also the intelligence of the universe, it is also our own self, we begin to feel the guidance and the connection that comes to us, that's available to us in so many ways, in so many moments. As a person who grew up as a secular humanist, to discover personal devotional practice was a very big deal and not at all easy. But once I allowed myself to practice in this way, I've found that it's kept deepening. And over the years, it's been perhaps the most profound and powerful connection that I have, is to experience spirit as a divine other, as someone who can stand with me, who can guide me, who I can love, who loves me, who I can actually ask for help. It's enormously comforting to ask divine presence for help in a very personal way. So when you're feeling worried or scared or dry, there's something enormously supportive about feeling that there's a loving being, one who has your back. And of course, we delight in the recognition that spirit is our own heart, our own deep self, the power of I am that, and the delight of sensing spirit as that which moves the wind in the trees, as it flows as the breath. And in these ways of recognizing the divine as us, moving through us and relating to us, we begin more and more to be able to recognize that spirit is in everything, is moving as everything, and that even in the worst of times, even in the most dire of circumstances, even in difficulty and tragedy and unthinkable catastrophe, that this presence is there. So as we come to the conclusion of this time of physically connecting through the voice and the teleconference wires, I'd also like to invite you to join other telesanghams in the future. Come to a retreat or workshop if you're so moved. The schedule for my retreats and workshops is on my website. And in next month, we'll be offering a class in witness, power of awareness, which is very much about personal I am that practice, recognition of spirit as pure awareness. And then in June, we'll be having a class called Meditation for the Love of It, which is a deeper immersion in what it is to really enjoy different techniques and practices and ways of approaching meditation. It's a class I offer to get you to see meditation as, I would call it, one of the great recreational activities, something we do for pure enjoyment as well as for transformation. So as you stay present with the breath and the heart and the flow of hum and sa, whether in the form of a mantra or a gentle sense of the breath flowing in and out of the heart, you can place your hand over your heart in the center of your chest. Move your hand just a little bit to feel the physicality of the hand and the heart, the hand and the skin and the flesh beneath it, and the inner heart behind it, and the physical heart beating there within the chest walls. And with your awareness plunged into the heart center in the breath, and your own hand touching and holding your chest, have the sense that the hand over your heart is the hand of your ultimate beloved, and that the presence that flows in and out with the breath that breathes you is loving you, is gently opening you. Love is not an emotion. Love is a very deep recognition of the divine essence that is who and what you are, what I am, what all of us are. With a sense of yourself as the beloved, let your attention stay in the heart. And see if you can take that intention to stay in the heart out into the evening, out into your week, out into your life. May our practice be of benefit to all beings. May our practice be of benefit to all beings. May our practice be of benefit to all beings. Thank you with all my heart for being present in this space together. Namaste. All blessings, all love.